I was in Slovenia during Thanksgiving weekend when I witnessed one of the most masterful sales stories ever told. While wandering through Ljubljana with my shopping-averse husband, Michael, we entered a boutique where a young sales clerk approached us. Instead of simply showing us a cologne called 8 & Bob, he shared its captivating history, how a young JFK met a French perfumer on the French Riviera in 1937, requested 8 samples and one for Bob, his brother Robert, and how the final bottles were hidden in hollowed-out books to protect them from Nazis. Without even smelling it, my husband immediately said, "I'll take it." The next day, we returned after learning they were out of stock. A different clerk could only offer basic product facts without the story, creating a stark contrast. This messaging tragedy happens daily in business. Sales teams struggle to communicate fascinating solutions, agents miss opportunities to engage customers, and company cultures wither because leaders can't articulate why they do what they do. The good news? Storytelling has the power to change how everyone in business thinks, feels, and behaves, turning customers into converts, employees into evangelists, and executives into leaders. The fundamental problem in business is bridging gaps, the spaces between what you want and where you are. The most obvious gap exists between companies and customers, but gaps appear everywhere, between entrepreneurs and investors, recruiters and prospects, managers and employees. Those who bridge these gaps most effectively win in business. Building strong bridges across these gaps requires mastering three elements: attention, making people notice your bridge, influence, compelling action, and transformation, creating lasting impact. Unfortunately, most businesses build flimsy bridges by focusing on only one or two elements, using tactics like flashy ads, cluttered presentations, or mission statements on coffee mugs that fail to create genuine connection. Extra Gum faced this challenge when they slid from market dominance to third position by 2013. Their attempts to recapture market share by emphasizing long-lasting flavor failed because research revealed that 95% of gum buying decisions happen unconsciously. To win, Extra needed to burrow into the human psyche where logic matters less than emotional connection. My experience with storytelling began long before business applications. I told my first story at 11 years old for a fifth-grade English class, continuing through church events, high school speech teams, and eventually storytelling festivals across the country. I studied under master storytellers who could captivate hundreds with nothing but their narrative command, transforming small moments into profound meanings. When marketing executives complained about short attention spans, I challenged their premise. The problem isn't with the audience, it's with the message. Stories don't steal attention, they're freely given through narrative transportation, where listeners co-create by adding their own images and emotions. Research shows we literally lose awareness of our surroundings when transported by story. Stories possess inherent persuasive qualities. As audiences lose themselves in narratives, their attitudes shift to reflect the story without typical scrutiny. When the Slovenian clerk told us the 8 & Bob cologne story, we didn't feel sold or convinced. We became willing participants, acting on genuine desire. Beyond capturing attention and influencing perspectives, stories create lasting change. Like a movie that follows you home, or a tragic tale that changes behavior, well-told stories weave themselves into our being. The 8 & Bob story didn't just convert us to customers. We became converts, eager to share the story ourselves. Neuroscientist Paul Zak discovered the power of story when he unexpectedly found himself sobbing while watching Million Dollar Baby on a flight. This experience led him to research how stories affect brain chemistry. In experiments, Zak found that emotional stories increased oxytocin levels by 47% in viewers' blood. This pro-social chemical promotes bonding, trust, and generosity. Those who watched emotional narratives became more generous toward others and gave more to charity. Story literally changes brain chemistry to create connection and inspire action. Zak's research revealed that effective storytelling requires both attention, triggered by cortisol, and trust from oxytocin. His experiments showed that when both neurochemicals increased, donations to charity rose by 261%. Stories uniquely capture attention and forge bonds between people, creating the perfect intersection of captivation and influence. For the Maricopa Health Foundation's Copa Ball fundraiser, I suggested focusing on stories rather than speakers' credentials. Instead of doctors giving technical presentations, they featured three speakers with personal connections to the hospital: a young man whose face was reconstructed after being beaten despite having no insurance, former Secretary of State Betsy Bayless, who drove her father to Maricopa after his stroke, and respected financier Marilyn Seaman, who received emergency care there after being hit by a car. These emotional narratives connected with donors on a neural level, resulting in donations more than double the previous year's total. The power of story creates lasting impact because oxytocin activates the HOME, human oxytocin-mediated empathy circuit, which uses dopamine, a reinforcement neurochemical that helps us learn. This explains why stories have been humanity's preferred method for transmitting important information since before written language existed. Stories don't just captivate and influence temporarily, they transform the brain with effects that linger long after the narrative ends. Despite stories' power to captivate, influence, and transform the brain, there are important caveats. First, what you share must actually be a story, not just information or data presented in slides or text. Second, not all stories are created equal. Some stories simply don't work. As I bluntly put it, some stories suck. The lesson neurology teaches about the brain and business is twofold. You must use stories, and they must be good ones. The Super Bowl represents marketing nirvana, a rare moment when viewers actually want to watch commercials. In 2014, advertisers paid a record $4 million per 30-second spot, despite unclear evidence these ads drive sales. Anheuser-Busch's Puppy Love commercial became the most popular ad in Super Bowl history, and researchers Keith Quessenberry and Michael Coulson discovered why. It told an actual story. Their analysis of 2 years of Super Bowl ads revealed that storytelling beat out sex appeal, humor, celebrity power, and even cute puppies. Our casual acceptance of storytelling's power is surprisingly recent. Just a decade before the 2014 Super Bowl, I defended my master's thesis on storytelling in organizational culture against skeptical professors who challenged the very premise that humans are storytelling creatures. I argued passionately that stories help us remember, cooperate, teach, share, and survive. As Yuval Noah Harari later wrote in Sapiens, our unique ability to tell stories about things that don't physically exist gives humans unprecedented ability to cooperate flexibly in large numbers, the very foundation of our civilization. In recent years, storytelling has transformed from a children's library activity to a business buzzword championed by figures like Gary Vaynerchuk and Richard Branson. But this widespread adoption has led to misuse of the term. I found a nasal spray product at Walgreens boldly labeled Our Story that merely described their manufacturing process, demonstrating how the concept of storytelling has been diluted as businesses embrace the term without understanding what actually constitutes a story. Through extensive research, we identified four essential components that make effective stories: identifiable characters, authentic emotion, a significant moment, and specific details. These elements distinguish genuine stories from mere messaging. Rather than needing a hero, which suggests something epic, stories simply need identifiable characters that audiences can connect with. Characters must be individuals, not companies, values, or groups. In Puppy Love, viewers connected with the puppies, the man who cared for them, and even the horses. But products themselves cannot be characters unless personified, like M&M's. A list of events or timeline isn't a story without authentic emotion. The emotion doesn't need to be dramatic. Frustration, wonder, or curiosity suffice, but it must be present. Importantly, this refers to emotion felt by the characters within the story, not what the audience experiences. Without emotion, there's no empathy, and without empathy, the message's impact is reduced. Effective stories zoom in on specific moments in time or space rather than remaining broad and general. Like map insets that magnify portions of a larger area, moments focus attention on particular details. When I worked with New York City private school executives who initially spoke generally about students experiencing different cultures, their stories became more compelling when they focused on specific moments: a student trying spicy food, children negotiating playground rules, or noticing the unique smell of a school lobby. The strongest stories include specific, descriptive details that create familiarity for the audience. Michelle Obama's powerful 2016 DNC speech exemplified this when she described her daughter's little faces pressed up against the window on their first day at a new school. This detail resonated with parents who had similar emotional experiences sending children to school, and even non-parents could connect with the feeling of starting something new. By choosing universally relatable details, she commanded attention and put everyone in the same emotional place. Beyond the four components, stories need structure. While elementary school teaches that stories have beginnings, middles, and ends, I offer a more sophisticated framework: normal, explosion, and new normal. This structure provides a powerful blueprint for business storytelling. The normal establishes the starting situation and is the most frequently overlooked element in poor storytelling. This crucial first phase introduces identifiable characters and their emotions while providing familiar details that help audiences connect. Without establishing this normal state, audiences won't emotionally invest, similar to how we can watch tragic news stories without crying because we know nothing about the people involved. The explosion represents the moment when everything changes, the pivotal turning point in your story. Despite its dramatic name, this change doesn't need to be catastrophic or negative. It simply marks the transition from how things were to how things become. Whether it's a realization, decision, or event, this is where the story shifts from the established normal to something different. The new normal reveals what life looks like after the explosion, showing what was learned, how things improved, or what wisdom was gained. This final phase delivers the story's purpose, whether it's a moral lesson, demonstrating how a product solved a problem, or presenting a call to action. The new normal transforms storytelling from mere entertainment into a strategic business tool by connecting the narrative to a meaningful outcome or message. To validate this storytelling framework, my team conducted a national survey with Edison Research involving 1,648 parents. Participants compared generic messages about a children's toy with versions incorporating 1 to 4 storytelling components. The results confirmed our hypothesis. Messages with even just one component outperformed those with none, and effectiveness increased with each additional component added. A remarkable 63% of respondents found messages with all 4 components more compelling, memorable, and persuasive than standard brand messaging. The value story is essential for effective sales and marketing. It addresses the critical value gap between products and customers that businesses must bridge. Unfortunately, many companies try to fill this gap with features, functions, and technical details, like a gelato shop that replaced visible flavors with a written list, causing customer frustration by forcing cognitive strain. Drawing on Daniel Kahneman's work, our brains operate in 2 systems: System 1, automatic, effortless, and System 2, effortful, analytical. Stories engage System 1, creating cognitive ease, while lists, bullet points, and features trigger System 2, causing cognitive strain. Apple's emotionally powerful Misunderstood holiday commercial showed an iPhone's value through storytelling rather than feature lists. The key insight? People don't buy the thing, they buy what the thing will do for them. Consider Workiva, a company offering superior business solutions that struggled to overcome clients' resistance to change. Their biggest competition wasn't other companies, but the status quo. The devil you know is better than the savior you don't. Workiva shifted from feature-focused selling to storytelling, including one about an executive training for a triathlon whose fitness goals were repeatedly derailed by inefficient quarterly financial meetings, precisely the problem Workiva's solution could solve. The executive's story resonates emotionally. His training for a triathlon was constantly interrupted by financial accuracy meetings that consumed his pre- and post-work hours. After implementing Workiva's platform, reports updated automatically with perfect accuracy, eliminating unnecessary meetings. The executive finally completed his triathlon with the reporting team cheering him on, transforming a mere product feature into a meaningful human story about reclaiming life goals. Chelsea Schultz at Unbounce faced two dilemmas. Their marketing had become overly data-driven, losing the human connection, and she needed to create excitement for a new product, convertibles, without revealing its details. This constraint forced Chelsea to focus entirely on the customer's problem rather than the product features. The resulting You Are a Marketer video told a simple story of a marketer struggling with limited budget and technical skills, then experiencing transformation when Unbounce's solution arrives. Without showing the product, the video generated over 1,200 interested subscribers, 10 times Chelsea's goal. While data remains important, it should be wrapped in story, a spoonful of sugar that makes information palatable. When crafting value stories, remember that the identifiable character should be the customer, not the product. I warn against the common mistake of making products the star instead of people, explaining, "The knight in shining armor is the character, the sword is the product, the dragon is the problem." Every business has a founder story, the narrative of who started it and how it began. These stories exist before the business was conceived, capturing the moment an idea struck or when the founder realized they might have a viable business. This guaranteed narrative is very good news because in a marketplace crowded with similar offerings, a founder story provides one of the best ways to differentiate and bridge the gap to potential customers, investors, and talent. Consider Airbnb's origin story, where two San Francisco roommates struggling to pay rent hit upon the idea of renting air mattresses to conference attendees when hotels were sold out. This improvised solution evolved into a multi-million dollar company despite initial skepticism from investors. Founder Brian Chesky used storytelling to transform venture capitalist Jeff Jordan from complete skeptic to complete believer in 29 minutes. Analysis of Shark Tank pitches reveals that 76.7% of successful pitches incorporate storytelling elements. Greg McCone's 2012 HBR article, "If I Read One More Platitude-Filled Mission Statement, I'll Scream," highlighted how company mission statements have become indistinguishable collections of generic phrases. When I ask audiences how many use commitment to excellence, customer service, or passion as differentiators, everyone raises their hands, proving that what companies believe makes them unique actually makes them identical. This struggle to differentiate affects all products, services, and companies, but the best antidote is a founder story. I choose Spanx over other shapewear because I know Sarah Blakely's founder story of hustle and bathroom product demonstrations. Similarly, I patronize Drybar because founder Allie Webb's story of curly hair struggles and entrepreneurial journey resonates with my own experiences. These founder stories create emotional connections that transform customers into brand loyalists. Even seemingly modest origin stories like Jerry Meek's childhood fort-building passion can be powerful differentiators. When competing for a major luxury home construction project, Jerry abandoned his standard pitch and instead shared his lifelong passion for building, which ultimately won Desert Star Construction the contract over equally qualified competitors. The client later confirmed it was Jerry's simple childhood story that created trust and demonstrated his passion. Everyone who started a business has a founder story, and there are three places to look for these narratives. First, go way back to childhood connections with your passion, as illustrated by a financial advisor who loved money so much as a child that she washed coins when her mother called money dirty. Second, recall the "there has to be a better way" moment that sparked your business idea, like Warby Parker's origin after a founder lost expensive glasses. Finally, look for the blood, sweat, and tears, the struggles that reveal character, like the Shark Tank contestant who broke down aluminum window frames all summer to earn $200 for her first baby moccasin materials, turning investor indifference into a feeding frenzy. Purpose stories bridge internal company gaps by creating alignment and inspiration, both essential for organizational progress. Research shows storytelling significantly improves team alignment and performance. In one study, groups participating in crisis simulations performed better when exposed to stories rather than direct instructions. Teams who watched a video containing a cautionary story about poor coordination were more similar in their view on how events should be solved than those given the same message without narrative. At a tech company's national sales conference, the VP of sales masterfully used a personal story to address a sensitive issue. He shared how during a dinner with his teenage daughter, he lectured her about paying attention to details, only to discover he was wearing mismatched socks. This self-deprecating story allowed him to acknowledge the company's hypocrisy in preaching client relationship development while only rewarding new acquisitions. By framing corporate inconsistency through his personal misstep, he created a safe space to promise alignment between words and actions. Purpose stories succeed or fail based on how well they support a specific message. Before telling one, you must answer, what do I want my audience to think, feel, know, or do after hearing this story? This clarity becomes your North Star, guiding which story to develop and which details to include or cut. When a new CEO addressed stakeholders at Maricopa Medical Center's fundraiser, he didn't deliver typical statistics. Instead, he shared witnessing staff treating a homeless man with dignity at a community forum, perfectly illustrating the hospital's true purpose of providing compassionate care to the vulnerable. When Michael took the stage at his company's conference in 2008, he was nervous but prepared. Rather than delivering a typical sales presentation, this former finance guy shared a deeply personal story about his water polo journey. Recruited in high school despite no experience, Michael worked his way to team captain and a UCLA recruitment. But in college, facing tougher competition, he quit during his senior year, only to watch from the bleachers as his former teammates won the national championship. Through this story of his greatest regret, Michael connected with his discouraged sales team during the recession. "I know things are hard right now, but this is our championship game. I refuse to quit until we win." Research shows that children who know their family history have stronger self-esteem and sense of control. Similarly, our survey of 1,000 employees revealed that those who knew their company's origin story and historical challenges were 40% more likely to believe their work makes a difference. Purpose stories help team members understand they're part of something bigger, whether they're coding from home or working three cubicles away. While many leaders focus on selling to customers and investors, they must equally engage and influence their own people through storytelling. While public speaking anxiety is common, even for professionals, customer stories carry inherent credibility because they come from actual users. Research shows 85% of consumers trust online reviews as much as personal recommendations, with most reading an average of 7 reviews before trusting a business. However, consumers remain skeptical about testimonial authenticity, with nearly half believing it's difficult to determine if reviews are truthful. While value stories and customer stories both aim to demonstrate product benefits, the crucial difference is who tells them. Value stories follow the storytelling framework: normal, explosion, new normal, but are told by the company. Customer stories, by contrast, are told by actual users, like Amy H. and Carolyn D. from Native's website, giving them inherent credibility that company-told stories lack. Customer stories eliminate skepticism because they come from people with nothing to gain by sharing their experiences. When Native's customers say the product eliminates stink completely or is worth the higher price, it carries more weight than if the company made those claims. McDonald's UK learned this lesson the hard way with a controversial ad about a bereaved boy connecting with his deceased father through a fish sandwich, which sparked outrage despite resonating with me personally through my own connection to my father via tomato juice on flights. Customer stories gain credibility through their imperfections and specific details. Carolyn D's Native deodorant review mentioned her age, 77, specific activities, bicycling, paddleboarding, and even contained typos, all elements that made her story ring true. These raw, unpolished details do double duty. They enhance believability while simultaneously revealing the type of vibrant, adventurous people who use Native products. no team of copywriters could create something as authentic as what real customers naturally provide. Collecting customer stories requires intentional systems. Native's approach demonstrates two essential rules for gathering effective customer testimonials that actually work. The most critical rule is simple. You must actively request them. Native sends personalized follow-up emails after customers receive their products, creating a system that has generated thousands of responses. Their emails don't just request generic feedback, they specifically prompt customers to share what they used before trying Native and how their experience has changed. This framework cleverly guides responses into the normal, explosion, new normal story structure, with Native as the transformative middle element. Finding stories involves two distinct processes, story collection and story choosing. Story collection is brainstorming without judgment, generating potential story ideas regardless of quality or appropriateness. Story choosing is about selecting the right story for a specific situation, as not all stories work in all contexts. My experience with storytelling began when I once asked my grandmother about the Great Depression, but received only a brief, unhelpful response. The problem wasn't that my grandmother lacked stories, but that the question was ineffective. Better story finding requires better questions, specifically, questions focused on nouns, people, places, things, events that anchor our memories. I worked with an executive who needed a story about innovation's challenges. We listed technological objects from his life, music players, computers, phones, which triggered a perfect story about his first experience with a cell phone. As a teenager, he secretly used his father's briefcase phone to call a friend, only to discover later the 30-second call cost $300, perfectly illustrating how innovation can be both amazing and painful. To help uncover forgotten stories, think about firsts in your life, first meetings, jobs, or experiences that often contain memorable stories. List customer objections and questions to find stories that address concerns. Look for examples where you've seen your message in action, whether in business or personal life. Ask yourself probing questions like, "When have you had to be resourceful?" or "What was your most embarrassing moment?" Everyone's life is full of stories. They just don't sound like stories to us because they're simply our lived experiences. After collecting and selecting story ideas, the next step is crafting them into compelling narratives. Rather than starting at the beginning when crafting a story, start with the middle explosion section, as this is typically what we first recognize as the story-worthy moment in our experiences. Though the explosion is the middle part of the framework, it's often where our recognition of a story begins. We don't notice a story happening until something disrupts the normal. Crafting the normal is where you transform a mere happening into something meaningful. This section builds audience connection by establishing familiarity and empathy. Use the four story components as a checklist. Include details about identifiable characters. Incorporate emotions, establish the specific time and place, and add familiar details that resonate with your audience. A well-crafted normal creates the foundation for the explosion's impact. The new normal flows naturally when the previous sections are well-crafted. This section recaps lessons learned and their implications for the audience. You can be subtle or direct with your message, citing examples like the water polo player, implying "don't give up" without stating it explicitly. The key is coming full circle, ending where you began, but with new understanding gained through the story. As our journey concludes, I remind you that Once Upon a Time isn't just for fairy tales, it's for your business stories too. Once upon a time, something happened to you, your partner, your employees, or your customers. These real beginnings, failed marketing efforts, running out of money, critical shipments stuck in customs, business dreams, are where your most powerful stories start. The tricky thing with beginnings is they sometimes look like endings, failures and flat ideas that seem final. But there's no greater freedom than recognizing a beginning disguised as an end. Though storytelling can be daunting, whether facing a blank page or a full auditorium, the way forward is always the same. Simply begin. Stories can transform your career trajectory, whether you're climbing the corporate ladder or interviewing for a new position. Matt, a fighter pilot transitioning to commercial aviation, used storytelling to stand out in an extremely competitive hiring process. For every interview question, from describing himself to handling stressful situations to discussing leadership skills, Matt came prepared with relevant stories that showcased his abilities and character. After a grueling interview and painful waiting period, he secured a position with his first choice airline. The most surprising truth about storytelling is that your best moments often happen when you're naturally telling stories, closing sales, connecting with others, or sharing experiences. When you have a meaningful story to tell, the telling becomes almost effortless. Our education system trains us to write reports, present facts, and speak without verbal fillers, but rarely encourages our natural storytelling abilities. Think about how eloquently you share stories with friends over wine, heartwarming tales about your children, or heartbreaking relationship experiences. That's because storytelling is our birthright as humans. Once upon a time may seem an odd place to end our journey together, but it's fitting. The end of this book is really your beginning. Once upon a time, you read a book about storytelling in business, and then,